Hello and welcome. This is Alex Mondosian, CEO and founder of Electronic Marketing Institute. And welcome to this call. This is the Ask Alex Today calls. They're done on the first Thursday of each month. Now, if you're Pacific time, they're 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific. If you're East Coast time, they start at 12 noon and 8 p.m. Eastern time. And these happen on a free basis as a courtesy to you. There is a paid call, which is $20, and you can get involved in that by going to alexanswers.com, and you'll find that at the footer of your handout. So my sense is you have the handout in front of you. I hope it's printed. And if it's not printed now, then I hope it is in future months. And you have five questions you're looking at. There are two pages on the printout. Now, at the top of the handout, or we'll call it the action guide, you'll notice there's a logo there. It says Electronic Marketing Institute. And then the date, the phone, the code, the time, the replay, and the duration. In about 3 inches, 2 inches of space at the very top, you have all the information to get on this call. So that is a tip by itself. If you have action guides as a teleseminar marketer, as a webinar marketer, or as a webcast marketer, you want that information at the top, and it takes very, very little space. I want to show you that at the top to see how convenient this can be, because the action guide is standalone. Now, this call will not be recorded if you don't pay the $20. If you do get the $20 in and you go to alexanswers.com, you'll not only get the recording to this call, but you'll get some other surprises and new training at the evening session, which is 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to go over five questions right now, and these five questions have not only space to write underneath each question, but there are carryover notes on page two. So the way the carryover notes work are very simple. Depending on the question you want to carry over, if there's not enough room on page one, then you can carry it over and write down the question and then write down the notes next to that. Also a very, very effective way to have an action guide on a virtual basis like this. You'll notice that there's a three-hole punch mark on the left-hand side. My hope for you, and it's my goal to have you keep these notes, because pale ink is better than a photographic memory, and I'd like you to build a notebook. Now, if you decide to come on board for an entire year, which you'll hear more and more of as we do these first Thursday of the month calls with Ask Alex Today, then you'll be sent a notebook, and you can three-hole punch these notes as well as the paid call notes and put them in that notebook. And by the end of the year, I think that notebook will be the world's greatest electronic marketing library of how-to that you'll have, simply because that is my expertise, and that is what I've generated in know-how and knowledge over the past 12 years being in business. So let's begin with question number one. There are five questions on page one, and remember, if you need more room, go to the carryover notes page, which is on page two of your action guide. Now, page one, I have a question that reads, what are the significant advantages of electronic marketing over other traditional marketing channels in order to find the ideal market-to-message match? Okay, well, three advantages. Okay, number one, more productivity. Number two, more leverage. Number three, more freedom. More productivity is number one, more leverage is number two, and number three is more freedom. Let's go over each. More productivity, that means maximum results in minimum time. It's a five-word definition. Maximum results in minimum time. So put that in your notes section, or if you're listening, just think about that. Because that's what you want to be as an entrepreneur. You want to be more productive and take something at a lower level, maybe your business, it may be your team productivity, it may be your own family and lifestyle. Take it from a lower level to a higher level. So maximum results in minimum time, when you're more productive, I believe that is that definition. And that's what electronic marketing can do, because electronic is more instant. It's more instant than direct mail, than postcards, than even other forms of communication such as word of mouth. Electronic marketing is unique in its advantages, because from the comfort of your home or office, you can get access to the world. And that means Any type of medium or media source that has a plug or a battery. It could be an iPod. It could be a fax machine. It could be the internet. It could be radio or TV. It doesn't matter. That is what electronic marketing media is. So more productivity means maximum results in minimum time. Number two, more leverage. More leverage to me is defined by maximum productivity with minimum effort. Maximum productivity with minimum effort. And then more freedom, and this is the way I define freedom, is maximum leverage with better lifestyle. Maximum leverage with better lifestyle. Freedom to me is the quality of life. And if you have maximized leverage, which is maximum productivity with minimum effort, and you have maximum productivity, which is maximum results in minimum time, then you have not only maximum productivity, but you have maximum leverage with a better lifestyle, a better quality of life. And I hope it's with zero levels of guilt. We're still, I think, immersed, I know sometimes, with the Calvinist ethic or the Puritan ethic, some call it the Protestant ethic, where the premise is that the harder I work, the more I get done. Therefore, the more I work, the more I will get done. And this is rubbish. It doesn't exist anymore, not in the recommendation age. We have gone from the information age, as my good friend Glenn Dietzel talks about, in the 20th century, all the way through the recommendation age. The search engine, whether it's YouTube or Google, directories such as Yahoo, they are recommenders. So I am a recommender. I want to be your preferred recommended electronic marketing expert, and I'm hoping to be that in these months to come, every first Thursday of the month. Now, if you want to carry over question number one on the quick carryover notes on page two, here are some of my suggestions on how to become more productive, more leveraged, and more free. So you can put down question one, and here are some notes. I'd have you write down and just think about 12,000 seconds a week. By just quarantining or setting aside 12,000 seconds a week, then you will become more productive, more leveraged, and more free. Because during those 12,000 seconds, what I'd like you to do is put them in 4 50-minute chunks. You could have one 50-minute session per day. 12,000 seconds is really 3 hours and 20 minutes. And 3 hours and 20 minutes can be divided into 4 50-minute chunks. And that's a great start. Is your life worth 1.9% of your week? You have 168 hours a week. And so 3 hours and 20 minutes is less than 2% of your week. You have 84,600 seconds a day, right? Is your life worth 12,000 seconds a day, 12,000 seconds a week to set aside and become more productive? So I call that critical productivity time. They're 50-minute chunks, no interruptions, no email, no voicemail, no snail mail, no interruptions from family or workers or team members. You just work on getting the to-dos done. You can do critical thinking. You can think about contracts. You can flowchart different parts of your business. But that 12,000 seconds a week should remain sacred. So I highly recommend that you put that aside each week, because you'll get more done faster, better, and with a lot less effort. Let's go to question number two on page one. And the question reads, what's the difference between market-centered promotion versus message-centered promotion? Well, I don't care if you do electronic marketing or non-electronic marketing. This is a critical question for you to understand. So I want you to write down in your notes under question number two the following. I want you to write down message, and then an arrow pointing to the right, media, and then an arrow pointing to the right, and then market, and an arrow, without an arrow. So message, arrow to the right, pointing to media, arrow to the right, pointing to market. You got it? You got it in your mind's eye if you don't have a note sheet or action guide in front of you? Now underneath message, write down one. Underneath media, write down two. And underneath market, write down three. And next to this flow, I want you to write down traditional. Now, this is the traditional marketing method. You have a message, you find a media source, Now, the media we're talking about is electronic media, but it can be any type of media, you know, newspaper, magazines, direct mail. And then you look for a market. This traditional product-centered or message-centered approach does not work. So I want you to be aware of it, and if it's what you do, I want you to rethink it, because underneath that flow, I want you to write the following. I want you to write market, and then an arrow pointing to the right. I want you to write media, then an arrow pointing to the right. And then I want you to write message. You got it? Market, media, message. It's flipped. Underneath market, put 1, media 2, and message 3. Put those numbers underneath those words. I want you to go to your market first. Identify a market. Identify a niche that's ideal for you. Then find the media source, then create the message. Okay? This is called the Socratic method. And, you know, traditional is almost is an inaccurate term, because what's more traditional, something that's been happening for a couple hundred years or something that's been happening for 2,500 years? Well, this second model, market, media, message, that's what Socrates did. Now, I just applied it to marketing, call it the ask methodology, but find your market first, then your media source. I like to use electronic media just like I'm doing now. You're listening to me by telephone. That is electronic media. A teleseminar is an electronic media medium, right? And then the message, I come up with the message after asking the market. Where did these questions come from? They came from 10 years of interviewing, of surveying, of asking my market what's most important to them. And every single month I have a free call as a courtesy, and I answer 5 questions, just like I'm doing right now. Now, these calls are free. They happen at 9 a.m. Pacific, and again at 5 p.m. Pacific, so that's 12 noon Eastern or 8 p.m. Eastern. And I do that as a courtesy for you to, you know, listen to it and re-listen to it. And really, you have a decision to make, and the decision is $20. Do you want to go on the $20 call, which happens at 6 p.m. Pacific on the first Thursday of each month, right? And it starts at 9 p.m. Pacific. Then to get registered for that, you can do that right now. You go to alexanswers.com. And at the very bottom of this webpage, you see a call to action. It says, got more questions? Visit alexanswers.com. See how simple that is? And it's all carried over by electronic medium. Now, for question number 2, I'd like you to put this over on the carryover notes. Question 2, write down number 2 next to the little finger pointing to question. There's a space there. Question blank. Write down 2. And I want you to write the following notes. Now, if you don't have the notes in front of you, notice how I'm always speaking to my market. I'm pretending like you are in front of me. So there are 2 types of people listening right now, those who have notes and those who do not have notes in front of them that they're writing. I prefer for you to have notes, but if you don't, I'm not going to ignore you, so I want you to think of this in your mind's eye. If you do have notes, though, I want you to write this down. If you are in business and you want to become successful, which I'm assuming you do, then start thinking about market-centered marketing, which is also called prospect-centered marketing. Market-centered marketing and prospect-centered marketing. What is that? Well, your prospect has the wallet. Your prospect fogs up a mirror. Your prospect has a brain and a heart. Your prospect is the one who's making the decision. So start doing electronic marketing, at the very least, prospect-centered, market-centered. I don't want you to do product-centered marketing or message-centered marketing, which is really the contrast of the question. You know, what's the difference between market-centered, or another word for that is prospect-centered, right? The prospect is a human being. What's the difference between that in a promotion versus message-centered? A message-centered promotion is like having a product-centered promotion. Now, when you're centering in on the product, that's like someone coming up to me at a seminar or during a Q&A session and saying, Alex, I have a great product idea. I hear this all the time. I bet you do, too. I bet you've said that before. I know I have, before I kicked that habit, because if I continued that, I'd go broke. I have a great product idea. I have a great service idea, whether it's a service or product. Well, that's all about you, the marketer. The market doesn't care about you. The market cares about themselves. So what you want is to understand them first and understand their desires. Look, I know it's about the product benefit. A product benefit is what the product does. A product feature is what the product is. For example, a dog, right? A dog has two eyes, two ears, you know, one tail. That's what most dogs have. Those are product features. That's not why people buy dogs. People buy dogs, in my opinion, because of their unconditional love. It's what they do. A dog will wag their tail and come up to you after a long, hard day. You may have gotten beaten up by the marketplace, or maybe your boss wasn't very nice to you, or maybe you're having an argument with your spouse, and your dog will still be there wagging its tail. And that's what a dog does, and that's why people buy dogs, because of their unconditional love or level of giving, right? Well, even as powerful as that may be, that is still a product-centered approach, okay? What I want you to do is start thinking about dog lovers. And what kind of dog lovers? Do they like dachshunds? Do they like German shepherds? What do they like? What do they love? Focus on the prospect, not even on the product. Product benefits don't even hold a candle to the desires and the needs of the prospect. So be prospect-centered. Be market-centered, right? Have the perfect market-to-message match. Many people call it the message-to-market match. See, just by saying message-to-market match, you're thinking message-centered, right? So just change the language and put it in the context as having the perfect market-to-message match. When someone comes up to me and says, Alex, I have the greatest market niche I have ever found. Well, I say, great, tell me about it. That's something that's interesting because the market has the wallet. Start thinking differently. It's a very subtle difference, but that subtle twist and difference can take you into a 180-degree turn, and you will get and make more money faster. You will get it better, and you will get it easier and with a lot less human effort because you'll be focusing on what you must be focusing on, which is the market. Fuzzy targets don't get hit. And so if you're focusing on your product or your message only, that's a fuzzy target because you're only focused in with a magnifying glass on what you have versus what your market or your prospects want. Does that make sense? I sure hope so, because that's question number two. Question number three reads, in the marketing and promotion world, what are the specific differences between suspects, prospects, customers, and evangelists? Well, I believe there are four species of people you do and don't do business with. So in the notes, let's write down underneath question number three is, what's a suspect? A suspect is someone who doesn't know you, someone you don't know. They don't know you. That's a suspect, right? Because they haven't opted in yet. They're not in your world. They're not on your list. They're out there. There's a ton of suspects. In fact, if you had a circle, which was your total universe of people who was your market, the suspects would be that whole circle of people. Now, prospects, those are people who do know you. So that would be a circle within the circle, because that's a smaller universe. Prospects do know you. Why? Because they've opted in. They're on your list. They've said yes to you. Now, it's not a yes. They haven't purchased from you, but we'll call it a shy yes. I hope you're writing this in your notes. Again, pale ink, the palest of ink, is better than a photographic memory. If you can barely read something, it's better than trying to remember it, right? Customers. Who are customers? Well, they're not suspects. They do know you. They're better than prospects because they really know you. I'm going to say that customers like you. They like you. And the reason they like you is they purchased something. You will be a customer. Now, people have different names for customers. I call mine students. Someone in the medical profession, or the chiropractor or traditional practitioner in medicine, would call them a patient. If you're an accountant or you're an independent professional, you'd call them a client. If you're in a service business or possibly if you have a wholesale club, you may call them a member. I don't know what business you're in, but you may call them a customer if you sell products. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to use a customer as a catch-all term. Customers like us. because they have said yes, and they have voted with their wallet. So therefore, if you decide to go to alexanswers.com, fork over $20, then I'm assuming that you like me a little bit more than just listening to this call. So alexanswers.com is for the $20 call tonight. And you'll get access to this training for life, because you get the recordings to this call as well as the recordings to the call at that 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And that call's an hour and a half. This one's 45 minutes. Okay, so the like person is the customer. Those are people who like you. Remember, suspects are people who don't know you. Prospects are people who do know you because they've opted in. They're on your list. Customers are people who have paid at least $1. If you have a $1 teleseminar, that's still a customer. They like you. And then an evangelist, those are people who trust you. I consider those people multi-buyers. Now, this no like and trust concept is really the three reasons why people do business with you. Bob Berg, my good friend, taught me this years ago in a book I read. And since then, I've gotten to know him. And I know, like, and trust him as well, because I'm a multi-buyer of his, as he is of mine. So suspects don't know you, prospects know you, customers like you, and evangelists trust you. No like, trust. You get it? Prospects do not pay you a dollar yet. Customers pay you a dollar or more, and evangelists pay you lots of dollars because they're multi-buyers. Now, here's the biggest challenge I have found with my own students. Go over to the carryover notes and write down question three. Write down the number three next to the question that has the third question down coming from north to south. You should have one and two already filled out, hopefully. But question number three, write these down. Most people spend the most number of dollars, marketing dollars, on suspects. Okay? I want you to spend the most money on your evangelist. Evangelists are your multi-buyers. They are people who have purchased more than once. They haven't purchased an upsell. In other words, a prospect knows you. That means they've opted in. A customer likes you because they purchased once. Now, they could have purchased more than one thing in that one session, but I consider them, in my world, to be still a customer. Remember, I call them students. So if you purchase from me, like tonight, you are a student. I would consider you a student. And that's the same as a customer. The reason I call them students is because I don't like to call people customers. I like to call them students because it reminds me that I'm a teacher, and a teacher has a duty to students, and it's a very, very important duty. In fact, the best teachers are the best students. So it reminds me what I also want and need to be. And then if you trust me, then you will buy again and again. So if you have an opportunity to buy again tonight, then that makes you a multi-buyer and someone who trusts me because you bought something in a separate session. Now, these are the way I define my three species, prospects, customers, and multi-buyers. But yet, most people I know, including myself, I've done this before, I've spent a ton of money on suspects. I don't do that anymore. I spend most of my money on my evangelist, my multi-buyer. Okay? And the reason I do that is because I will generate more income, and I can anticipate more income. I can predict more income from my customers and evangelists, specifically evangelists, because they've already demonstrated that behavior. They've bought twice. They bought once, and then they bought again in a different session. In fact, I can predict in my world. Now, Dick Benson, who was one of the greatest marketing minds of all time, said that, you know, in the subscription world of magazines, you can predict that a multi-buyer, would be worth three times lifetime value, or LTV, than a single buyer. Well, in my world, it's even better. I have measured five times. In fact, sometimes five to seven times more. So my business is structured, my information marketing business, my media business, Heritage House Media, Heritage House Publishing, in fact, the Electronic Marketing Institute, it's structured around creating evangelists or multi-buyers. And the reason for that is because I know that just by automatically focusing all my energy on that they will be worth, and if you are one of them, you will be worth to me, and you will be rewarded for that if you become one. you will be worth 5 to 7 times more to me than a customer, you know, a first-time buyer. So my whole business is centered around the multi-buyer, getting that second purchase. So after I have one product, my first question I ask myself, what's the second natural product that someone will buy along the student path of purchase? So I want you to write these notes down. Know, like, trust. Know, those are prospects. Like, those are customers. Trust, those are multi-buyers. And what if you knew each day from the previous day how many prospects you got, how many customers you got, how many multi-buyers you got from the previous day? The K people are the prospects. That's how many people opted in. The L people are the customers. That's how many people purchased for the first time. Do you even know that? And the T people, the trust people, are your multi-buyers. Those are people who purchased for a second time in a second session. How many of those did you have in the previous day? You can graph this out, and over a 30-day period, if you have these metrics, then you know how healthy your company is now and in the future. It doesn't matter what business you're in, service business, product business, information marketing business, and product business like I'm in. So what a powerful way to have metrics. In fact, what are you measuring today? What a world-class question to ask yourself. What are we measuring today? Tell your team that. So my business is structured around knowing how many K people, L people, and T people I got. Okay? Those are key indicators for my business to know how healthy my business is. And if I see a drop in K, a drop in L, a drop in T, then what I do is I adapt. I know where I'm at. But the only way I can know where I'm at, point B, is to measure, to test. I cannot improve what I don't measure. I can only improve what I do measure. That's what Tom Peters says, management consultant. You know, he wrote the book In Search of Excellence and many other great books. You probably have heard of him. And I hope you live your business and live into your life and business as an entrepreneur the same way. Know how many prospects came in yesterday. Know how many customers you got. Those are first-time buyers. Know how many people now trust you. Those are multi-buyers. And by doing that, even if you got one customer, your goal is to convert that person into a multi-buyer. So when you're structuring your business, and I'm spending a lot of time on question 3, because this is the key to the kingdom of wealth and riches. This is the key that fits into the lock that opens up the door to the secret passageway to wealth and riches. You want to be the doorknob, not the doormat. And I know a lot of marketers who are doormats. They just say, okay, I'm going to spend a lot of money on suspects. These people don't know me, but man, I want to be loved and I want to be known, and they do their best to get opt-ins. Well, that's good. That's step one. So now they have prospects. Now what? Well, now your job is to turn them into customers or students or patients or clients, whatever you call them, for a first-time purchase. Is that a $1 trial for a membership? Is that a $20 teleseminar or webcast like I have at alexanswers.com? What is it? I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, you better have something else behind it that's natural on that customer, or for me, the student path of purchase, because you want that trust person. Don't you want more people to trust you than like you? Now, universally, it won't happen. You'll always have more people who like you than trust you. So if you had a sequence of circles, the biggest circle are suspects. A circle within that circle, concentrically, are your prospects. A circle within the circle, are your customers, and the circle within the circle within the circle within the circle, or your bullseye, if you will, that represents your evangelist. And it is the smallest circle, but guess what? The nectar is there. And so how do you get people to go there? You get people to go there by knowing what to buy from you after they purchased your first product. So if you want to be responsible in marketing, that's your ability to respond. Once you have a product sold, before that even goes up online, if you're an electronic marketer, before it goes on your retail shelf, if you're a non-electronic marketer and you have a retail store, you need to ask yourself, you must ask yourself, what's the next natural product or service they're going to buy from me, they being the customer? And if you have that, then you recommend that to them. I'm going to recommend something to you on tonight's call. Now, if you're listening to this on the replay, then tonight already happened, and you already listened to tonight's call because you got this recording. AlexAnswers.com is I want you to go into from no to like me. You're a prospect now. In the context of this call, I want to go to like, right, which is first-time purchase. $20. That's a low bar, and it's guaranteed. You don't like it? Ask for a refund for tonight's call, right? And then on tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity, of course, not only to have content, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to trust me. What a cool way to propose something, right? It's not like I'm not going to sell you something. Okay, if I sell you, that means I have. One of my friends says, "If I sell you something, that means that that I have more interest in your hopes and dreams than you do." Right? It's a very cool way to frame it. I can't sell you anything. I can only put you in a position to buy something. You have control of your hopes and dreams. I don't. Right? What a cool way, right, to frame something. So if you get the recording, you can listen to that again. I heard that and I went, wow, I got to write that down. And so I want to put you in the position to trust me, which is making a purchase of something else tonight. And it'll be your choice. So you can stay at like level or you can go up to trust level. And that makes you a multi-buyer because you bought in the second session. So that's question number three. Okay? Question number four on your action guide is, what's the most time-effective way to evaluate and submit new joint venture proposals? A JV proposal, I'm using that as a catch-all term, that's when someone wants to do business with you. And in the world of strategic alliances and electronic marketing especially, as the founder and CEO of the Electronic Marketing Institute, just by stating that, the founder and the CEO, I don't know what that sounds like to you, but to some, it may sound impressive if they don't know me. It doesn't sound impressive to me. I'm recording this from a converted bedroom of my home, so it's not like I have this huge building. But that's my brand, and that's the truth. I'm the founder and CEO of the Electronic Marketing Institute. Now, chances are there are going to be people who want to do joint ventures with me. Now, Warren Buffett says more no's than he says yeses. In fact, he says 1,000 no's to every yes. And once he finds the right investment, he pounces on it. The super successful people say no most of the time. That's their knee-jerk reaction. Now, most joint venture prospects or joint venture candidates don't like that word no, because they've been working really hard, and I'm not saying they want a free lunch, but they at least want an audience to joint venture. So rather than me saying no to people immediately, what I do is I put the burden of truth on the joint venture candidate or partner. So someone wants to JV with me, right, or align with me strategically. I'm assuming they want to do business with me. If they didn't, then they wouldn't be coming to me. So isn't it better if I have a context or a step-by-step basis to put themselves in the position for me to say yes than for me just to say no because they're not presenting themselves properly or they haven't learned how to present themselves, right, or presentation is not important to them? So if I'm speaking to you or if I'm speaking to one of your joint venture candidates, listen carefully, because this is what I have all my JV candidates do. And I did this simply because I had too many JVs coming to me, and I hate saying no. It's not in my nature to say no, but saying yes has devastated my business at times, because by saying yes to something, I can't say yes to something else because of constraints of time. So here are the five steps, and here's the executive summary I expect all joint ventures to fill out. I want to know, number one, the urgent problem. That's step one. What's the urgent problem? The urgent problem of the prospects, not the joint venture candidate's urgent problem. So if we're going to do business together, what is our prospects? Remember, we are market-centered. We are prospect-centered. We're not product-centered or message-centered. That's going back to question number two. We are market-centered. So what's the urgent problem of our prospects? Okay? I want to know. And that could be one sentence. Number two, what's the unique solution? What's the unique solution that you're proposing as a joint venture candidate, or let's say of one of your JV candidates are proposing to you for those prospects? Now look how powerful this is, because they're going to have to tell you who the prospects are. Even if they're product-centered and they have the message-centered mindset, right, they're going to have to tell you. They'll be forced into talking about who the prospects are. Many of them have not even thought about this. It's not their fault. They just don't know. They don't have this training that you're learning now, or they've never had that training. They just have ideas, and their ideas about are about them, about their message. So what's the unique solution that you have as a joint venture candidate for the urgent problem that the prospects have? We're both marketing to the same group. So point A is, what's the urgent problem that our prospects have? Point B is, what's the unique solution that you are proposing that we offer them? And then step number three is, why stuck? Now, if you need more room, remember the carryover notes are for that purpose. Question number four, start writing this stuff down. Why are the prospects stuck? Why is this market stuck with that urgent problem? And the key word is urgent. Not just any problem, it's urgent. Like having a motivated seller in real estate or motivated buyer. Okay, the timing is right. So why are they stuck with the urgent problem and haven't found the unique solution? You got to know why they're stuck, because that's the empathic approach to understanding, you know, what you're going to write for copy, how you're going to present your value proposition. Okay, so that's question number three that I want my joint venture candidates to answer. Question number one is urgent problem. What is it that our prospects are having? Number two is unique solution. What is that? What's the unique solution our prospects have? Question number three is, why are they stuck? Why are they stuck at point A, urgent problem, haven't found point B, unique solution? Question number four is, what's the process? What's the process? Okay, I don't know what the process is, but I know there are 5 to 9 steps to go from an urgent problem, get unstuck, and find a unique solution. 5 to 9 steps. This is what I know to be true. Now, you may not. It's 7 plus or minus 2 steps. So 5 steps is -2, and 9 steps is +2. I like to simplify things. If it's more than 5 steps, to me, it's too complicated. So whether it's 5 or 9, it doesn't matter. Step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4, step 5, that's the process to get unstuck, to get from point A to point B. I want to know. That's an executive summary that is almost done. We're 4/5 done, or 80% done. And the fifth step is first physical action. What's the first physical action that you want the prospect to take? Again, it's not about us, the JV, because we're irrelevant. It's going to cost us money. What it's about is our prospect. What's their first physical action? Physical, that means observable. That means not just emotional, that means motion. Motion causes emotion, right? So we want to know what their first physical action is. Do they pick up the phone? Do they go to a website? Do they, you know, how are we going to respond? How are they going to respond to us? So urgent problem, unique solution, why stuck, process, and first physical action. It's all about the prospect. It's all about the market. It's not about us. If I have those 5 answers, then I'm ready to talk to a JV candidate, and they've already pre-written it for me. Now, do you know that this eliminates about 50 to 80% of all joint venture inquiries, because people are not even willing to do this work, which takes maybe 15 to 20 minutes? Getting someone in the position to think is the most difficult thing on earth. So I have a lot of, you can put this in question number 4 in the carryover notes, I have a lot of people who think that a joint venture is 50-50, where someone has an idea, and they come to me, and they want me to market the idea, and that's 50-50. Well, I think that's 1% for the idea, 99% for the marketing, promotion, and for the market, which I have. That's where they're coming to me. I have the marketing, the promotion, and the market that I'm marketing to, the list. Now, why is an idea worth 1%? Well, if you have a patent on something, that's worth 1%. A world-class patent will get 1% royalty. Now, how about a product or content? What's that worth? Well, that's the idea, and it's the finished product. Whether that's a book or a product, it's a service, whatever it is, that to me is worth 10%. If you have a book, you go to a publisher, and they pay you a 10% royalty, that's world class. You have an idea, it's written, you may have spent 3 years on it, but they're keeping 90% of the sale, and they deserve it. So there's no such thing as 50-50 if you have a product or an idea. An idea is worth 1%. The product plus the idea is worth 10%. So that's a 90-10 relationship. 50-50 is not fair. And I want you to know this, if you take on JVs and you do 50-50 deals, or if you come to me and you want 50-50 deals and you're not going to do any of the marketing and promotion and if you don't have a list. You understand how that works? So that's question number four. And question number five, what are the seven essential questions to answer in any virtual training class? These are the seven questions that are world-class, and many people have asked me, you know, how do you structure your questions? Well, here they are. I'm going to give them to you. Okay, here are the seven questions. Okay, question number one is why? Why? Question number one is why? So whatever your topic is, why is something so important? In other words, why is electronic marketing so important to your business? That's the first question you want to ask. The second question is what? What is electronic marketing? Or what is, and whatever your topic. Are you with me? Next, the question is, there's seven questions. We're at two. Number one is why. Number two is what. Number three is how. How does electronic marketing work? Okay? How does it work? Now, how does whatever your topic is work? That's kind of the process, right? And then the fourth question is, what if? What if? Number one is why, number two is what, number three is how, and number four is what if? What if you used electronic marketing starting today? What would your business look like in 24 hours, in 30 days, in a year? That's the what if question. Now, these first four questions come from a very, very important research study and a philosophy by David Kolb. Now, it's very similar to the Jungian scale of sensing versus intuiting. I've learned this from David Kolb. I've just online. I've learned it from Wyatt Woodsmall, who was a fellow Seminar Secret student of mine and who taught this to me a while ago. And these are the four learning styles. And the why style, the people who keep asking the question why, they're the divergers of the world. The what people are the assimilators. The how are the convergers. And the what if are the accommodators. Okay? Now, a diverger, that person is a concrete experiencer. They're a reflective observer. Okay? And if you want to get the details on this, you can go to Google and just look up David Kolb, K-O-L-B. These are the learning styles. And I believe they teach this in a lot of train-the-trainer programs. I learned it, you know, directly from the Internet with the introduction that I got from Wyatt, and I just kept learning more and more about it. The assimilators, they are the abstract conceptualizer. They are the reflective observer. The converger, they're the abstract conceptualizer. They're the active experimenter. And the accommodator, the what-if person is the concrete experiencer or the active experimenter. And I'm a what-if person. So are you a why person, a diverger, a what person, an assimilator, a how person, a converger, or a what-if person, an accommodator? Which one are you? I have no idea. I mean, I ask why not as much as I ask what if, but that makes me a converger as well. So David Kolb, and those are the first four questions because those are learning styles, but I have other questions I ask. And question number five are, what are the obstacles? What are the obstacles? Now, I always ask obstacles before I ask strategy. I ask roadblock before I ask about tactics. And the reason for that is because I want to know what's preventing someone to get from point A to point B first, because there are many of things that are preventing them, and each of those things or walls or doors may have a key to open it or ball and chain to destroy it so it gets out of the way. And that's what a strategy is. So I ask, what are the obstacles to having a successful electronic marketing business? There may be three of them. So that's question number five, I would ask, in a teleseminar about electronic marketing. Question number six is, what are the strategies to dissolve those obstacles or to tear down those roadblocks? And each strategy is there to take care of one obstacle. So for every obstacle, there's a strategy to dissolve that. Now, this is something that I got. It was an idea. It wasn't postured this way exactly, but this is the original seed of the idea came from Dan Sullivan, who's both a client and has been a mentor of mine, a strategic coach. And he has a concept called the strategy circle, where he looks at the resistance first to something and then the strategy to overcome that resistance. For me, I look at the obstacles and the roadblocks and then the strategies or tactics to dissolve those obstacles or roadblocks. So the idea is the same. So why, what, how, what if, obstacles, strategies, those are the first six questions, right? And then the seventh question is, what's the first physical action? What is the first action that's physical? I got this, the physical part of it, I got this from David Allen of Getting Things Done, best-selling author. And the reason it has to be physical is so it's observable. And by so doing, and it's observable, you're on your way to move. And once you start moving, then you gain momentum. The toughest thing in the world is not to get something done. The toughest thing in the world is to get started. So question number one is why, then what, then how, then what if, then what are the obstacles, what are the strategies to those obstacles is question number six, and what's the first action? The first action I want you to take is to go to alexanswers.com and get registered for tonight. Do that now, and it has been a privilege, as always, and it has been my hope that you will continue to cross paths with me on electronic marketing or the Electronic Marketing Institute and anything else I teach on these first Thursday of the month calls. Those are the five questions answered. Hopefully the carryover notes are full. I will talk to you during the Alex Answers call. Go to alexanswers.com, and that is the paid call for $20. And you can also become an affiliate. If you go to alexmondosian.com, you can become an affiliate and find out how to get a 90% commission on these $20 calls. You get 18 of the $20. So do that now. Get registered, alexanswers.com, and I will see you on that call. All good wishes, and I hope our paths cross again.